Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Amen. That's good, isn't it? The story will never grow old. I'm thankful and know that. I have written in the front of my Bible, it says, this is a quote by Warren Wiersbe, by the way, who just passed away here a few months ago, a great commentator. He said, "It is important that we interpret the gospel to the saved. The entire New Testament is an interpretation and application of the gospel." And here's the crux of it. Preaching deep. You always hear that, well, the preacher just doesn't preach deep enough. There's just too much evangelistic flavor to the message. He says, preaching deep is preaching all aspects of the gospel. You want to preach deep? You want to hear a preaching or teaching that's deep? It needs to be about the gospel. It is about the gospel. And so anyway, John chapter 1 and verse 43, I was going to attempt to preach several verses, and then I said to myself as I was studying this again yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm going to preach one verse today. So this will be a textual sermon. We're going to do it, a textual sermon on just the one verse. And you'll see the reason why. John chapter 1, verse 43. Verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. So he was down in Judah, down in that area where the baptisms were taking place. John the Baptist was baptizing there on the south side of the Sea of Galilee. He says he was about to make his way back up to south side of the Sea of Galilee, about to make his way from Judah back up to the province of Galilee. He says there, and he says, "And findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Follow me." He findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." We sang the song a while ago, "Follow, follow." I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. And let's take a look at this scripture after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today again. God, for your love. We thank you for your love for us in that you sought us. And Lord, we thank you that you're not very far from any of us. You promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the series we're preaching on Sunday morning is Follow in the Steps of Jesus. And that's what we've been doing. We've been preaching and following through the steps of Jesus. By the way, all of us should follow in the steps of Jesus. As Christians, if you're a Christian this morning, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it is your goal, it's my goal as a Christian to follow in His steps. We've followed Him there in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus, the Word, steps out on nothing and creates everything. All things were created by Him. All things were made by Him. Without Him is not anything made that was made. We followed Him there at creation. In the beginning, He was there. Jesus was there. We followed Him as the light there on the first day of creation. Again, we followed Him as He returns. The light returns there in Bethlehem as the star also there. And we think about that Shekinah glory returning. I'm not going to go into all this, but the light returned. Jesus Christ is the Word, capital W-O-R-D. Jesus Christ is the light. And that light there on the first day of creation, I believe He was that light. And I believe that light, and we know the light returned there as Jesus Christ was born. In John chapter 1, verses 14 through 28, we have Jesus, the Son of God. In other words, God revealing Himself to mankind through His Son, Jesus Christ. Following in His steps as God reveals Himself through Jesus. And then John 1, 29 through 34, we have Jesus when John the Baptist pointed and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And we see Jesus as He enters His earthly ministry. And John the Baptist making it very clear that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices, all the lambs that had been sacrificed through those several thousands of years, all those sacrifices, pictures of Jesus Christ. And now the picture had become concrete, had become real. This is Him. This is the Lamb of God. We follow Him there at John the Baptist. We follow Him last week as the Messiah. In verses 35 through 42, when the disciples said, "Listen, come and see." And they came to see, and he says there in verse 40, one of the two which had heard John speak followed him, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, verse 41, chapter 1, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Messiah is the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word. The Greek word is Christ. The Messiah. We have found the Messiah. We found the one who fulfills all the Old Testament prophecies concerning the one who would come and remedy mankind's fallen condition. We have found the Messiah that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. We have found the Messiah that was promised to David. I mean, that's got to remember, that's what a Jew would think. When they said to them, hey, we found the Messiah, he's going to think about all those Old Testament prophets, all those Old Testament figures who were promised that a Messiah would come. And they said, the Messiah is here. Following in his steps, Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. Jesus Christ, of course, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of going to the cross. There had to be a cross before there was a crown. Most of the New Testament saints, most of the New Testament, those who were looking for Messiah were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for one who would deliver them from Roman oppression. They were looking for a king. But there had to be a cross before there was a crown. Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again on the third day to give us salvation, eternal salvation. And he's coming back someday, and someday he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The king is coming someday. Maybe today. So, we follow his steps. The Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Light, the Word. He says here to Philip, follow me. I want to point out, again, we see a chronological order of the days. He says, the day following. So it really gives us 4 days here that are transpiring. The first day, we have John the Baptist testifying to the religious leaders that he was not the light, that he was sent to bear witness of the light. They was testifying to the leaders that he was not Elijah, he was not the Messiah. The second day, we have Jesus being tempted, but also John the Baptist's declaration, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The third day, we have John repeats his declaration, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And at that point, four of John's disciples, or four of those disciples, began to follow Jesus on day three. Now we have day four, the day following, the day just before Jesus is to leave that area where John the Baptist is baptizing. And I've been there, right there on the tip end, the southern tip end of the Sea of Galilee, and he was just about to leave. But before he left, he found Philip. He found Philip. It's kind of interesting as you follow this. You find that Andrew and John sought Christ and found him. Peter was brought to Christ by Andrew. But Jesus found Philip. Christ sought him. If you get nothing out of the message today, get that. Christ sought Philip. The creator of the universe sought Philip. It's an amazing thought. By the way, this is in no way endorsing Calvinism. I'm thankful Jesus Christ died for all. And I'm going to clarify that in a moment. But here we see Christ seeking Philip. In the verses prior to this, verses 35 through 42, you see that phrase used over again, seeking and finding, seeking and finding. Look at verse 38, he says, what seek ye, Jesus says. Verse 39, he says, come and see. But in verse 40, it says, he followed him. John spake and he followed him. Verse 41, it says, he first findeth his own brother people. And then he says, we have found the Messiah. In verse 43, he says, and findeth Philip. I just want you to know there's some seeking and finding going on here. So it's in the context of the Scripture as Jesus sought or findeth Philip. He didn't stumble over him. He found him. We live in a day, every generation is looking for something. All mankind are looking for something. Mankind are looking for contentment. They're looking for light. They're looking for truth. Many travel the world to try to find it. Many study various religions to try to find it. All to find out in the end that it was right there by them all along. As they meet Jesus, you find out He's just right there. It's kind of like some of you guys especially ever have a cap on and you wore sunglasses all day, but you put them up on your hat, and then you ask the question to somebody, "Hey, help me find my sunglasses, I can't find them." And they say, "It's up on your hat." We used to work in the cabinet shop, and we always, you know, I'd have a hat on, but I'd stick my pencil up in my, up in my ear. And man, for 30 minutes, I would look for that pencil, and all of a sudden, I'd remember, oh, it's right there. Jesus is always right there, seeking and finding. He says, though He be not far from any of us. By the way, when Paul said that in Acts 17, he was preaching to lost people on the Mars Hill. Get that now. Put little shivers down my spine just now. He was preaching to lost people. I'm telling you, God would have all to come to Him. He is seeking. He wants all to be saved. We think about Saul on the road to Damascus. Here was a man who had persecuted Christians. Here's a man who consented to Stephen's death. I mean, held the coats of those who stoned Stephen, and yet Jesus Christ appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. And there Saul got saved. God sought him. Jesus sought him. Matthew the publican, the tax collector, Jesus sought him. There are many other examples of that in the Scriptures. He's seeking you today. We see this example by way of the miracles of Jesus Christ in Scripture. Think about it now. That every miracle that Jesus Christ basically performed were done in various different ways. Done in different ways, right? Jesus Christ, typically speaking, did not heal people in the same way every time. I think He did so for a reason, so that you wouldn't put the miracle in the act. The miracle wasn't in the act, it was in the person. In other words, it didn't matter how He did it, because it's not the did that done it. It was the person who did it. Jesus Christ performed the miracles. But three different ways in which people approach Jesus. One, someone would approach Him personally. "I need to be healed." And he would heal them. He never turned anybody away. And then some brought people to Him. In other words, there was friends who would get together and they, you know, think about the crippled man where they four men carried him up on top of the roof and broke the roof so they could let the crippled man down into the house where Jesus was, and Jesus healed him. But friends brought him. And then the third way in which people were healed was Jesus sought them. Think about the pool of Bethesda, or Bethsaida, however you want to say it. And Jesus approached him and said to the crippled man there beside the pool, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the crippled man said, "I have no man to get me in the pool when the angel comes and stirs the waters." But Jesus sought him. There were many others by that pool who needed healing, but Jesus sought that man. Again, we think about John and Andrew coming to Jesus personally. We think about Andrew bringing Peter. I saw the statistic again. The majority of people come to church because someone invited them. The majority of people come to Jesus because someone invited them. The majority of people do not come to Jesus on their own. I know some of you who have been here a long time will remember, and I won't mention names, but there's a man and his wife who came to our church, and I went to visit in their home the very first time. And I found out that this man had not been led to Jesus by anybody. It was very unusual. I haven't seen this very often. He simply had some things happen in his life, and he had a Bible, I think from previous when he was growing up or something, but had never read it, had never attended church as a kid. I don't remember where he got the Bible. He read it and led himself to Jesus. I mean, I talked to him. He had read the Bible through several times. And when I talked to him, he said, "I read my Bible through. I knelt and prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior." On his own. Before that, he was an atheist and a lot of other things. And they were very faithful in church here until they moved. So some people come on their own, but the majority of people do come because someone invited them. Most people come to Jesus Christ and get saved because someone has shared with them the story of Jesus Christ, that story that never grows old. And then there are some whom Jesus seeks himself, who come to him. But I want to remind you this morning that he seeks all. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. God seeks all. All can be saved. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad that God is no respecter of persons. He didn't choose some to be saved and some not to be saved. He didn't choose some for heaven and some for hell. That's preposterous. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, well, you're saying that God seeks people? Is there any biblical proof of that? Yeah, there's a great one. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That, by the way, is the key verse of the whole gospel of the book of Luke. In worship, it says, John 4:23, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Sure, he seeks. You talking about the God of the universe? Absolutely. Well, how can he seek everybody at the same time? Because he's everywhere. He's limitless. His power is unlimited. Can I remind you that Jesus Christ proved that he sought all when he left glory to be born in a manger? He left it all and limited himself by becoming flesh. Took upon him the form of a man. He became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. He was God with skin on. He limited himself. He came. He sought us. He seeks us. Well, how does he seek us? He seeks us by his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit pricks our heart and convicts us. And when it comes right down to it, again, I can only give you the gospel. I can only give you how you are to come and how you are to come to Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit who gives understanding. I want to remind our teachers here this morning and anyone who's teaching children and adults on this campus anywhere, whether it's master clubs, whatever, our job is just to teach. It's the Lord who gives understanding. You cannot, a person who is saved, who is lost, the only way for them to understand is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and pricks a heart and convicts a heart about their need for salvation. That's God seeking that person. How does he seek a person? Well, by restlessness, by discontent. All mankind are discontent. All needing fulfillment. Can I just remind you this morning, or tell you, if you've never been told this, that true fulfillment is only found in Jesus Christ. If you want true contentment, you want a true fulfillment in life, I'm telling you, work will give you some fulfillment. Those little rugrats running around, those little children, they give us some fulfillment, don't they? I understand grandkids are about as close to fulfillment as you can get without Jesus. I mean, you can get fulfillment in other things. Going to the Rangers game last night gives us some fulfillment. It gives us some fulfillment. But if you want that fullness of joy, you want the full contentment that was intended by your Creator, that's only found through Jesus Christ. Only found through Jesus Christ. All are seeking that contentment. And again, that is the way, one of the ways in which the Lord is seeking them and seeking you. You say, there's a void there. And every once in a while, as a lost person, or as a person who's not saved, is reminded. And it can only be filled by way of the Lord. And not just the negative either, but sometimes he sends blessings and goodness to us in our lives to show us just how great he is. You ever had something that happened to you, or something good happen to you that you could not explain? I'm even talking about prior to your salvation. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he sends good things our way to say, hey, there's something more than just this. There's something more than just friends and neighbors and whatever. I mean, this is of the Lord. I've seen several that I've witnessed personally who came to me and said, preacher, this happened in my life and I can't explain it. Tell me, what is, and then see them get saved. God is seeking, but you must yield. I'm glad that we were created with a free will. We get to choose yes or no. Irresistible grace is a hoax. You get to choose. Choose yes. Greatest decision you'll ever make. You want life worth living now? I'm not talking about just eternity. I'm thankful. I get to spend all eternity in heaven. Amen. Because I'm saved. But I get a better life here now. Fulfillment, contentment, so forth. Philip, follow me, Philip. Philip, follow me. He sought him. And he speaks to all today to say, follow me. It's an invitation to everyone. Follow me. Follow me. What does this mean, follow me? Well, in this instance, and to all, he's saying, come be my disciple. Right? That's what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, just come follow me around. Yeah. Right? No, he's saying, follow me. Come be my disciple. Come be a disciple of me. Follow me. Travelers have guides. Every once in a while, we'll hire a fishing guide to take us fishing. In fact, we're doing that Monday. Go out and snapper fishing. We have a guide to show us where to go and what to do and how to do it. Travelers have guides. Soldiers follow commanders. Sheep follow shepherds. Follow me. Follow me. When? Now. Follow me. Follow me through the difficult days. Follow me through the days of conflict. Follow me through the good days. But come follow me. Come follow me. He is our guide. He is our example. He is our counselor. He is our friend. He is our companion in everything. Follow him. It's the best guide you'll ever have. Best companion you'll ever have. Best friend you'll ever have. Best counselor you'll ever have. Follow me, he says. Three things. Follow me. It is a call to accept him as Messiah. That's what it is. It's a call to accept him as the Messiah. They understood that. Andrew, John, Peter, they understood that. When Nathanael was asked, he understood that. It's not said in here, but it's implied, and it may have been discussed. It's just not giving us all the details here. Follow me. Follow me. To accept him as Messiah. He was more than just a rabbi. He was more than just a teacher. The disciples accepted him as more than just a teacher. In fact, you go on, you see they called him, Nathanael calls him the King of Israel, which I'll preach on probably here in a couple of weeks, which was in your bulletin. They called him the King of Israel, the Son of Man, the Son of God. I mean, they accepted him and they yielded to him as more than just a teacher, more than just a rabbi. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was the King of Israel. It's a call to accept him as more than just a teacher, but as Messiah. How about you today? How about you? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior? We are all in need of a Savior. The Bible says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the remedy for your fallen condition, for my fallen condition, is Jesus Christ. He died for us. He died in our place. He was my substitute on the cross. You see, I should have been on that cross dying for my own sins. I should have paid the price for my sins, but Jesus Christ paid that price for me. And there he died and shed his blood for me. Not for sins he had. Amen. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous in Jesus Christ. Has there been a point in time in your life when you've accepted him as more than just a teacher? More than just good sayings in the Bible? More than just a moral code to live by, but the Savior. You can have him today. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today. you can have eternal life. We're going to have an invitation and invite you here in just a moment to come to the front, and there'll be a counselor here who can show you from the Word of God how you can have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. So he said, follow me. It's an act. It's an act of acceptance of the Messiah. Number two, it is a call to obedience. Philip, follow me. Okay? Walk in my steps. You know the story, and I think all our kids did it. If you had a pair of boots, a lot of people don't have a pair of boots anymore, but I can remember as a kid, my dad always wore boots, and there are multiple times they were left in the living room, and multiple times as a little kid, I would jump inside those boots and walk around in them, right? And they're humongous. Most of us have witnessed our kids do that. Trying to walk in daddy's shoes. Can I tell you, to follow Jesus is to walk in his shoes. It's to follow in his steps. To follow after him and fellowship and so forth. To follow after him. By the way, to follow him and his deeds, and to follow him, it will be right. In other words, he'll never steer you wrong. To follow him, you will be blessed. You want a blessed life? Follow Jesus. Christians, we are to be imitators of Christ. That's what the word Christian means. You can be saved, technically, and not be a Christian. A Christian is one who imitates Christ, who follows in his steps, who lives as Jesus would have them live, who's kind to their neighbor, who's kind to their co-workers, who's loving and gracious, who exudes the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. One who lives as Jesus would live. One who talks as Jesus would talk. Being careful, living like Jesus. He says, follow me. It's a call to obedience. By the way, in order to follow Jesus, in order to imitate his attributes, his characteristics, in order to do that, one must know him. And the greater you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the better you'll be at imitating him. Paul said, I count all things but loss that I might know him. David, King David says, as the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He wanted to know God more. Paul wanted to know God more. Want to know Jesus more in order that he might imitate him. Christians, may we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. May others see Jesus in us. May others look at us and say, he's a follower of Jesus. You can tell. How do they tell? They tell by how you live, by how you act, by what you say, by what you do, by how you dress, by what you say, by where you go. Amen. By how you live. And may we consistently, never perfectly. I'm not perfect, neither are you. We're going to stumble and fall every once in a while. But I'm thankful that that verse in 1 John is still there. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just, fair, to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's not talking to those who are unsaved. That's talking to saved people. And John says he'll forgive you every time. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for forgiveness. Amen. Let's be followers of Jesus. It's a call to obedience. It's a call to fellowship. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, desires a personal relationship with you. Religion is a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. Religion means a set of rules. God never intended that. He desires a relationship. And so it's a call to a relationship. It's a call to fellowship. He says, follow me. Well, if you're going to follow somebody, you're probably going to be near to them. You're going to be close to them. Somebody's following me, they're probably close enough I can talk to them. Jesus Christ desires to fellowship with you. He desires that closeness with you. By the way, if we're going to follow him, that means we are going to not follow others. It means there are going to be some paths we don't take. If we're going to follow in the path of Jesus, we're going to follow him. Again, back to that being an imitator of him. You say, well, preacher, why should I follow Jesus? Why should you follow Jesus? He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. That Creator loved you so much, he came to this earth, born in that manger, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, and then he went to a cross and died for you. Amen. He went to the cross and died. Why should I follow him? He's done so much for me. I want to follow him. I want to be his disciple. I desire that fellowship. By the way, one of the proofs that I am a Christian, one of the proofs that I am saved, is that desire to follow him. Again, I'm not always perfect at it, but I desire to imitate him. Some will not follow him because they don't want to follow him because they want to go another way. They have many various excuses. I just tell you, put the excuses aside. You don't have to turn over a new leaf to come to Jesus. There's nothing you have to settle to come to Jesus. I'm talking about your stuff. Just come to Jesus. Just come and follow him. Put everything else aside. Follow him. May we trust him today. May we imitate him today. May we follow him in fellowship. You want a companion in life that will never fail you, never falter nor fail? Jesus Christ. Our guide, our protector, our friend, one who is closer than a brother. And he says to Philip, follow me. Are you following Jesus this morning? Christian, saved, born again believer, are you following Jesus this morning? You'll find no better guide in this life. I'm talking about practical guide in everything in your life. You want to be a good parent? Follow Jesus. You want to be good with your money? Follow Jesus. I just go on and on. Follow Jesus. Are you following him? Let's all stand. Hymn 41, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. I love that old song. We sang it a moment ago. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. You'll never, never go wrong following Jesus. Everywhere he goes, let's follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we approach your throne thanking you, God, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your dear son, Jesus, who came and died and was buried and rose again that we have eternal life. And Lord, may we never take that for granted. May we as Christians follow in your dear son's steps, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.